You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, August 7th, 2023, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. As you're all aware, I've been doing the Daily Nationalist shows, picking these up, doing them Mondays and Fridays in Sven's absence until he gets back. And as you know, those of you who've listened to my Parish of the Patriots show for a while or caught my work here on the Daily Nationalist, as you all well know, yeah, I tend to do more lighthearted things. I mean, Friday, Sven has always liked to keep Fridays intentionally lighthearted to finish the week out. And I tend to just always find stories, you know, find the humor in any stories that I do. And it's not usually really hard because clown world is so utterly ridiculous. But today's story, we're doing something a little different. Today's story is one that I haven't seen get a lot of attention. I'm sure some other people have talked about, but I haven't heard a lot of attention being given to it. And it's dark. It's dark when you look beyond the surface and consider what is being conveyed, what the ramifications really are. So we're not going to find a lot of humor in today's story. I'm not trying to start your week off. I know it's a Monday already. I'm not trying to start your week off with a downer. But when I came across this story, and this story is dated July 30th, when I came across this story, I was just sitting here saying it's basically right in our faces, and it's something that I think needs to be talked about. So today's story comes from RT, and the title of the story is Ukraine's Controversial Surrogacy Industry Booming, reports, with a byline of the country's largest clinic continues to operate despite allegations of abuse and human trafficking. Ukraine's surrogacy industry is thriving despite the country's conflict with Russia, The Guardian recently reported. However, alternate reports have revealed that the industry is riddled with corruption and abuse, yet enjoys the protection of authorities in Kiev and Washington. Now, the country's at war, and this is being kept going. And when a country's at war, basically anything goes. And we already know that Ukraine is a corrupt shithole. I mean, and has been for a long time. But when a country is at war, anything goes, because it's everything is the use of force. There is no law. Might makes right. If you have money, if you have power, if you have guys with guns, that is the law. It's and human norms go out the window. The victorious side in a war after the fact will point to bad things that the other side did. Atrocities. We hear about atrocities committed. You know, war crimes and atrocities committed. But you can rest assured that the victorious side, which is telling you this, committed just as many atrocities themselves. World War II is a prime example. The U.S. loves to talk about the horrible atrocities committed by the Japanese and the horrible atrocities committed by the Germans. And I'm not saying that they didn't do bad things. But I mean, come on, the U.S. dropped 2 nuclear bombs on civilian targets in Japan. I don't really think they have room to go around and talking about atrocities. But the fact of the matter is, the reality on the ground anywhere that there's a war is really uglier than what people understand. Rapes are going to be a common thing. Killings are going to be a common thing. Why do you think American veterans have such a hard time? They come back from the Middle East and they have a hard time adjusting to life because they've been living for a while in a world to where, like, if you're going through a village and somebody says something to you or throws something or says something, you can just shoot them. You just shoot them and kill them. You don't have to put up with anything. So your tolerance of what you're going to put up with, because the more people you kill, the less meaning it has. The point to make here, though, is to understand that in a war zone, nobody knows what is actually going on. And we're going to delve some more into this story because I found this story to be much more disturbing than what is actually conveyed in this article. So let's continue going. Ukraine has long been known as a surrogacy hotspot. Now, we know Ukraine has long been a horrible, corrupt cesspit. And we know that this is common knowledge. Before Ukraine became the beacon shining light of our democracy in Eastern Europe, there were mainstream articles in the West written about how corrupt and awful the Ukraine is. So why is it a surrogacy hotspot? We've also known that it's been a human trafficking hotspot. Young girls and women are trafficked overseas for either prostitution or other things. With a quarter of the world's surrogate babies born in the Ukraine in 2018. So 25% of these surrogacies are just from this one country, which just so happens to be this horrible, corrupt cesspit. Why is that? If this is a legitimate business that is going on, how come it's always been centered in this country that's been well known for its corruption? That percentage has likely increased since Moscow banned the practice for foreign couples last year, with Russian lawmakers citing the need to, quote, prevent the trafficking of our children. Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop here to ask the one overall overriding question that should be asked concerning this article, which made me want to use this article today, even though, again, this isn't generally the type of article that's necessarily my cup of tea. And that is this: where are these babies going? Where are these? But this has been going on for years in this corrupt country. Where are they going? When Russia was down on its luck and also basically riddled with corruption, they were farming these kids out there. Now, Russia's gotten back on its feet. First thing they do is outlaw this practice. So that just means more business for the Ukraine. You've got these overwhelmingly white babies being born and shipped somewhere for some purpose. What is that purpose? You're thinking, but we're going to get into some numbers a little later in the article. They don't get into a lot of it. But this has been going on for years. You can't read this. The average dullard would read an article like this and go, well, this is for these upper middle class wealthy people who want to adopt children because they can't have any of their own. And to that, I say bullshit. I don't believe that. I do not believe that's what is going on. How many people are going to be able to afford these babies? And shouldn't it bother somebody that we're talking about human children are being farmed? They're being farmed and they're being sold and bought like they are a commodity. And that is a fact. It's not a conspiracy theory. The media would hear this and say, he says this, he makes this claim without evidence. The evidence is right in front of you. They're saying this is a business. And human children are being bought and sold like a commodity. But you're just supposed to think, oh, well, they're probably getting a better life. They're being bought by upper middle class people in the West that just can't have children of their own, and they really want a child, and so they're buying these children so they can love and raise them as their own. I don't believe that's the case, and I believe as we go through this article, it'll become more apparent that that's not the case. The fighting in Ukraine hasn't dulled demand, The Guardian reported on Wednesday, noting that more than 1,000 babies have been born in Ukrainian surrogacy clinics since Russia launched its military operations last year. Most of these clinics' customers, the newspaper noted, hailed from Italy, Romania, Germany, and Britain. Well, we know that that's where they initially were sent. We don't know where they have wound up. We know there's been articles in the past before all of this conflict broke out that a lot of the young girls and women that were trafficked out of Ukraine went to Israel. We know these babies went to these countries initially. We don't know where they wound up. I think it's a pretty safe assumption to make that that's not their endpoint destination. They're going to go to one of these places first and then be dispersed to parts unknown. And I'm not even implying like I know where they're going. I don't know. But I think somebody should be questioning, where are these babies going? Why is it okay they're being bought and sold as a commodity? And who's buying them? We're going to get into these women who have these children are paid not a small amount considering it's Ukraine. What's the markup on these babies? How much does it cost? How much is each one of these infants? How much is somebody paying for them? And I believe it's going to become apparent that really quick that is out of the price range. I think we can use a little logic and assume that that's out of the price range. Where are they going? Who's buying them? And for what purpose? If somebody's buying it, and this is just a theory, because I don't know. I'm saying I don't know, and I'm saying the problem is nobody's asking. Nobody in authority, nobody in any of these supposedly freedom and democracy, human rights loving governments are asking, where are these children going and what is being done to them? These babies are being sent to these countries listed initially. We don't know. Nobody knows where they're eventually winding up. What is being done to them? Are they being chopped up? I mean, really, one of these babies could go to Romania and then go off to another country and then ultimately end up in another country and somebody could chop them up into little pieces and bits for whatever purpose. And again, I'm not saying that's what's happening and nobody would be the wiser. Why is there a demand for these babies? What is being done to them? This article, like I say, this article, when you start thinking about what's being said here, it's a lot darker than what is being presented. I don't think this is just simply, a surrogate operation for poor people that just can't have children of their own. I don't believe that, not for a minute. Some 600 of these babies were born in a clinic in Kiev operated by Biotexcom. Does that sound like the name of an adoption agency type of clinic? Does that sound like the name of... It amazes me because these wicked and evil people can't help themselves. They actually like look wicked and evil and they like actually name their stuff that sounds like it would obviously be some sort of evil operation. You know, kind of like how Klaus Schwab looks like, I don't know, a villain out of a Bond movie, a James Bond movie or something. If this is a legitimate operation that's simply working for the joys of parenthood, why would you name it Biotexcom? I think there's a little bit of a hint here of what could be going on. I mean, after all, if you were wanting to do, and then again, I'm being honest, this is just a theory because I don't have the information. That's all we can do. Because again, nobody that has the power to look into these things will bother to look into them. In fact, they're covering them up. So we're left to theorize. But if you were working on things and needed to do human experimentation off the books, because there are certain things that, you know, you can only get so far with animal experiments. What better way? What better way than to just buy these off-the-book babies that nobody knows where they, you know, where they're going? And nobody's going to ask. Nobody's going to check on it. Voila, you can experiment with all that you need to. Before you say, well, no, people wouldn't do that. I would remind you of the story of Anthony Fauci's outfit, you know, having the faces eaten off of beagle puppies to see what would happen. These don't put any level of evil out of the realm of possibility. Okay, so some 600 babies were born in a clinic in Kiev operated by Biotexcom, which again just surely sounds like an adoption agency, a German-owned company that promises its wealthy clients the joy of parenthood. Then why aren't they operating in Germany? There's no lack of young women in Germany that would take money to create these, you know, to have these babies. If this is a legitimate operation that's quote unquote promising their wealthy clients the joys of parenthood, then why not operate out in the open in Germany? Why is a German company called Biotexcom having to go over to the corrupt shithole known as the Ukraine and has been there for a minute and operate these baby farms? if it's an up and up surrogacy operation, you know, outfit that is simply giving wealthy couples unable to have children of their own the gift of parenthood, if this is legitimate, why aren't they operating in Germany? Why are they having to go to the Ukraine? For the Ukrainian women who rent out their wombs for Biotexcom's customers. Can you believe this is real? When I initially read this article, I'm sitting here and I mean, I'm jaded. I'm jaded more than probably about anybody. I'm pretty much, nothing surprises me. And while this doesn't surprise me, I'm just amazed that you can read something like this and nobody really pauses. Nobody takes pause at a story like this. For the Ukrainian women who rent out their wombs to Biotexcom's customers, the process is significantly less joyous. Although these women are paid well, Biotexcom's medical director, Igor Pechenoa, told The Guardian that surrogates receive around $22,000 for carrying a baby to term. They are often subjected to appalling living conditions during pregnancy. So let's don't worry about where the babies are going. Let's talk about how the poor women are victims here. I don't know if they're actually being paid $22,000. I have a feeling they're not. I mean, this guy just told them this. This guy who no doubt is just really an up and up honest guy and totally wouldn't lie. Maybe they promise these women $22,000, but this is the Ukraine. I mean, if they tell them they're going to get $22,000 and once they have the baby, they give them $2, kick them out the door and say, be glad you're not getting a bullet in the back of your head. Who are they going to go report this to? The Ukrainian government? But I don't think how the women are being treated is necessarily the issue here. I mean, yeah, you could say it's a part of it, but I think the bigger issue again is where are these babies going? It gets worse. One Ukrainian woman told Al Jazeera in 2018 that the German firm promised her an apartment for the duration, but forced her to share it with four other pregnant women and to share a bed for 7 months of pregnancy. Now imagine we live in the West where we have these rights groups that complain about the way cattle are treated. They complain about the way chickens are treated. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of the way some of these industrial, you know, outfits, food production outfits are run. That's not the point. The point is you have these groups that make this big hubbub and fuss. Of course, most of them are backed by some sort of NGO money. But where are the groups talking about this as being concerning? Where are the groups saying, you know, we're basically running a feedlot operation for children? And here the women are promised an apartment. Well, that winds up being a lie. Why is the $22,000 a lie? Why is everything else they're doing? Why would anyone assume that's not also a lie? Including this notion that these babies are being given sold. They don't like to use that term, but the babies, they say these babies are offered to their wealthy clients. No, they're being sold. The country over here in the U.S. that goes on and on about, oh, we stopped slavery and slavery was so awful and it was so inhumane. Well, then turn around and have no qualms. This outfit is operating and they're literally selling babies. Why is this different? They give you these images of, oh, these slaves being bought and sold and how awful it is that human beings were being bought and sold in the slave trade. And I'm not saying that that's not awful. I'm saying that this outfit is literally saying they're selling baby. Well, they won't say it, but that's what they're doing. They're not paying these women whatever they're paying them, if anything, and then giving the babies away to somebody. They're literally selling these babies and nobody has a clue where the hell they're going. Look, we know there are all these billions of dollars going to Ukraine. Nobody knows where that's going. These weapons, nobody knows where that's going. We know nobody knows where these babies are going, how they're ending up, and what is happening to them. Another said that women who left their accommodation and failed to return before a curfew would be subjected to fines, as would women who criticized the company or attempted to communicate with the foreign parents. And do you know why I think that last part is there? I don't think there are any foreign parents. They know they're forbidden to try to communicate with alleged. They probably tell these women, oh, this is, they show them some stock photo they pulled up off of Google. And they're like, oh, these are some wealthy, you know, Italian or German parents. They're just dying to adopt your baby. And that's what they're going to give these women some kind of salve for their conscience. But you're not allowed to try to contact them. Why? No, not because they're going to complain about their conditions. I suspect they're not allowed to try to contact them because they might quickly find out that they don't exist. The alleged foreign parents don't actually exist. We were treated like cattle and mocked by the doctors, she said. Well, that's because you literally are. You're breeding livestock. You're like an old mama cow. Biotexcoms, I still can't get over that name. Biotexcoms, it's like they're announcing what they're doing. Biotexcoms staff know that they are taking advantage of poor Ukrainian women. Pechenoa admitted to Spanish investigative outlet La Maria in March that his company deliberately looks for women from poorer areas as, quote, logically the women have to be from poorer areas than our clients. Again, who are their clients? You know, you have this Spanish media outlet, you have The Guardian that has done these stories, but did they track down any of these supposed parents that were adopting them? I have not met a single woman with a good economic, and let me just say this, let me stop here. And they probably are a few because you would have to have that in case that ever came up. You know, you're going to have a few set up to where you actually put one of the, so if anybody ever really did dig into it, you could go and say, oh, well, look, here's a family that actually did adopt one of these babies. You could 100% sell all of them for bio research or organ trafficking or whatever. You hear rumors about these people, these wealthy, powerful, ancient people, and they get infant blood transfusions. Where does the infant blood come from? I have not met a single woman with a good economic situation who has decided to go through this process out of kindness, Pechenoa said. The main concern of advocates on the ground in Ukraine is that legislators and even news organizations aren't looking at this as a human rights violation, Princeton University researcher Emma Lamberton told The Gray Zone, which published a damning report on the industry this week. A government would never see human rights violations like child abuse as something to simply be regulated. Instead, it should be outlawed. And as we're going to find out, it's not being outlawed. It's not being regulated. It's actually being protected. Some Ukrainian lawmakers have tried to ban surrogacy. Victoria Vanier, a member of President Volodymyr Zelensky's Servant of the People Party, introduced a bill last year that would have limited surrogacy services to Ukrainian parents, but the measure was defeated in parliament. Another Ukrainian MP, Oksana Bilozer, told Australia's ABC News in 2018 that business and their lobbyists prevent lawmakers from restricting the practice. Business and lobbyists. Now, again, does this sound like these babies are being farmed for adoptive couple, for childless adoptive couples to take them and raise them into a good home? When you've had a few people, you know, ostensibly make an effort to outlaw or ban the practice, and yet business and lobbyist groups are coming in and making sure that doesn't happen. What lobbyist group represents childless, wealthy couples in the West? What business interests come in and do this? What exactly is the nature of the business interests and the lobbyist groups that have shut down any attempt to stop this practice from happening? I told you, this is dark stuff. It gets worse. Former Ukrainian general prosecutor Yuri Lutsenko claimed that he was handed an untouchables list by then U.S. Ambassador Maria Jovanovich when he took office in 2016. According to Lutsenko, this list named a host of powerful interests in Washington that Washington didn't want him to investigate. Now, just for a moment, let's just to make an analogy here. Imagine you're a cop and you roll up and pull somebody over. And you pull this person over, and as you get out and start walking up to the car, you observe the person in the car frantically stuffing something into a bag and shoving the bag under the seat. You would pretty much assume that some kind of they've got something going on here. There's some kind of, they got drugs on them. They got an illegal gun on them. They're a felon with a weapon. Something is going on here because they're trying to frantically run around and hide something. Why is it that Washington would hand this guy a list of powerful interests that they don't want him investigating? Nevertheless, Lutsenko placed Biotexcom founder Albert. This is a real story. Nevertheless, Lutsenko placed Biotexcom founder Albert Tatarovsky under house arrest in 2018, and his office investigated allegations of fraud and human trafficking against him, against the firm. Lutsenko was fired 2 years later, and his Biotexcom investigation has been stalled ever since, according to the Gray Zone. In a 2019 interview with Ukrainian news site Delo, Tatarovsky explained that keeping regulators away from his clinic was a key concern. The most important thing, he said, is to prohibit law enforcement agencies from interfering with our work. He's admitting it. You've got to keep law enforcement agencies from interfering with their work at Biotexcom. But they're basically admitting this is a criminal enterprise. This is a criminal operation. And we know there's a lot of corruption and criminality in the Ukraine. And again, there's going to be a lot of bad things happen in a war zone, period. But you think about all, they're constantly saying, oh, they need more money for weapons for the Ukraine. But this outfit can afford to pay these women $22,000. And this outfit is obviously on Washington's do not disturb list, to protect list, don't investigate list. You're not allowed. This operation in the middle of this country that's at war, this operation has got to continue. This operation's got to be protected. This operation is a do not disturb, do not touch, keep your hands off, do not look, do not see, do not hear, no evil. And we have no idea what is being done to these babies, where they're going, what kind of experiments are being done to them, what kind of appalling, horrible things. Obviously, it's things that they don't want you to find out. This is the nature of these people. This is the nature, to use Dr. Johnson's term, this is the nature of this regime. This is the sort of things they do. Now, you can say, well, you don't know exactly. Well, you're right. I don't know exactly. But when you got this guy saying, well, our most important thing is to keep anybody from looking at what we do. When you got prosecutors being fired to be sure that this no investigation is being done. When you've got these babies being trafficked and nobody has any idea where they're going, by an outfit that just sounds like they're involved in some sort of research purposes. Nothing good is happening here. These are human children. You know, these babies didn't get any say in being brought into this world. They have no power. They're the ultimate, you know, powerless beings. They have no power to affect anything around them, what is being done to them. You can rest assured, if it was something legit, they wouldn't be hiding it. When you got an outfit running here, it's a German company, and they refuse to operate in Germany, they're going to the Ukraine, and then they're saying, oh, well, our number one thing is to make sure nobody can investigate what the hell we're doing. They're not doing anything good. I mean, you can't come away from this by saying, oh, no, they're probably just doing something legit. It's a legitimate, some sort of adoption operation. There's no way that is what's taking place. I don't know exactly what's being done to these babies. I don't know what exactly is happening ultimately to these children. But it's not something legit. If they're doing something legit, they wouldn't have to hide everything. They wouldn't have to be put on a do not touch list. They wouldn't be on the list of untouchable people not to mess with. It's something very wicked, something very evil, and something very dark cometh this way. I generally don't do dark stories like this. I'm probably not very good at them. But I read this story. When I read this story sometime, you know, like a week or so back, I'm just like, we got to talk about this. Because it's getting little play, if any. There's obviously this story here on RT. But even in this story, they're not really asking the question that I'm asking and that you, the listeners, should be asking yourself, which I think is the overriding question. Where are these babies going? Because I don't believe that they're being sent to adoptive families to have a better life in the West. I think that's a load of bull. I think there's great evil right here. And if you read between the lines, these people are openly admitting it. We do a lot of different kind of stories. We talk about a lot of different topics here on Radio Albion. And this is one of those stories that when I decided to do it for this show, in the back of my mind, I can't help but to think there's a danger you're stepping on landmine to even discuss this. Because obviously they don't want people discussing it and they don't want people talking about it. Because obviously something very wicked and evil is going on here. Again, not really a bright, cheery way to start off your week. And again, I don't normally do darker stories like this, but I think it is a story that needed to be gone over, that we needed to discuss for people to think about and to talk about and to consider. Because after all, these babies, they have no way to speak up for themselves. I hope you enjoy the rest of your work week. I do. And I hope you'll check all our great content out here on Radio Albion. I think we've got a lot of good stuff. My regular Parish of the Patriots show will be up tomorrow. Orthodox Nationalist, Dr. Johnson, will be on Wednesday, and he'll be on the Thursday Daily Nationalist. And of course, I'll be back on Friday for the close out the week with the Daily Nationalist. I promise, with more of a lighthearted, I'll do my best to have more of a lighthearted story than this one. So as always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.